St. Louis Blues, they got a lot of guys, nine of them currently at the Olympics. Two defensemen, of course, playing for Team Canada, a few suiting up for the Americans, and then you got Steen for the Swedes. They should be in for a battle. The Blues might be the best team in the NHL right now. They're on a break. We'll see what Ken Hitchcock does with the guys and their time when they get back. But the Blues come in currently second in points with 84, but they got three games in hand on the Ducks, who are ahead of them by 3 points. I think the Blues might be the best team in the league. Andy Strickland from TrueHockey.com and ESPN in St. Louis joins us. Andy, the Blues, you know what? They lost their best score in Steen for a month. That didn't derail them. I know people are concerned about their goaltending, and you see them all the time. Are they concerned? Are you concerned?
You know what? Kind of a tough question to ask, or to answer, to be honest with you right now, because, you know, some games their goaltending doesn't appear to be an issue, and there's other games where you just wonder if one or two saves would have made the difference and where these guys are at come pressure cooking time and come playoff time. You know, the last couple of years, Jaro Halak really hasn't been available for this hockey club because of injury, and Brian Elliott has gotten the opportunity, and this team hasn't gotten past the second round. Of course, they lost in the first round last year to L.A. I do think Jaro Halak, who they are kind of asking to take the ball and run with it, can be that guy. But again, you see brilliance from him for a stretch. And really in recent weeks, he's played some of his best hockey since he came here from Montreal. And then you see that one or two hiccups that kind of gets everybody all up in arms. At the end of the day, they may not have any option. This may be the guy they're going to have to go with unless some type of trade ends up happening, and of course everybody keeps bringing up the name Ryan Miller, but there's so many layers that come with making a trade of that magnitude. I'm not so sure the Blues are going to be the team to pull it off, although time will tell. But again, this team is so good in front of them in terms of how good they are defensively, how responsible the forwards are to contributing to that strong defensive play. Their goaltending doesn't have to be great. They don't have to rely on the goaltender like a lot of other clubs do, but they do need to be steady, they need to be consistent, and for the most part they've gotten that.
Andy, this team, for me, is one of the best in the league, if not my favorite to watch. You mentioned that they may potentially do something in net. Do you think there's anything else that might go on? If do they need any help on the back end or up front?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me at all, Brian.
Okay.
And I talked to Doug Armstrong about this in our pregame show on television just two games before the break. And I get the impression from him that he will look to do something. Now, just like every other GM out there, you're always looking to improve your team. I mean, the Blues certainly won't be sellers come trade deadline time. You know, they do have one or two bodies. Maybe they would look to move. Certainly there's been some names who have been rumored. But when you look at this team and the teams they're going to have to get through if they want to get to a Stanley Cup final, and I'm talking about the California teams. Obviously, Chicago is a team they could face in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs if both teams advance beyond the first round. But then those California teams, they're big, they're heavy. And if there was or is one minor concern for me, it's the lack of muscle on the back end. I mean, they've got guys like Barrett Jackman and Roman Polak, but when you look at, you know, the team like L.A. a couple of years ago, guys like Matt Green, Willie Mitchell, you know, these guys are really, really big. You know, Anaheim has some size on the back end. They've got some grip with Boschman. You know, Brian Allen's a big guy. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a major issue because they all move the puck. They can all skate, and obviously they all can defend, which at the end of the day is the most important thing. But you just wonder if they need just a little more muscle. But you got to be able to move the puck. You got to be able to play within the system Ken Hitchcock throws out there. I just think in the games this year, and again, they've only beaten California once this year. They really struggled against San Jose. They lost all three of those games. They lost in their only matchup against Anaheim. They're going to play them coming out of the break. Looking forward to that game. And L.A., they've gotten handled by L.A. the last 2 years in the playoffs and a couple of games this year. They did beat them one game, but Jonathan Quick wasn't in between the pipes. You just wonder if they could use a little more muscle, a little more grit, toughness, somebody with some real nastiness on the back end if this team's going to go four rounds.
Andy Strickland joins us from TrueHockey.com, also ESPN in Chicago. Andy, Ken Hitchcock, when the Blues were here last, and I know Hitch quite well, and I asked him about what his team needs, and I asked him, "Do you think you need to score?" He goes, "You know what? I think I want an energy guy on my third line." That's what he was, and you know, right away I looked at him. I was like, "Well, Steve Ott would seem like an obvious fit." What do you hear? You know, to me, Steve Ott would bring something the Blues have. I know he's not the defenseman you talked about, but even up front, like, Backes is mean, but they don't really have a lot of other guys who bring that element up front.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, you know, Ott is a guy that everyone hates to play against, and obviously he's got that history with the Dallas Stars, and Doug Armstrong has a history with him there. Of course, Hitchcock has a lot of history. Brett Hull's in the organization now. Brendan Morrow's here. I mean, you got guys who certainly know Steve Ott, and he's a guy who we all know what he brings to the table. We all know he's likely going to get moved from Buffalo, so would it shock me to see a player who has history with the GM here end up in St. Louis? No, it wouldn't at all. Scoring is not the issue for the St. Louis Blues. You mentioned Alex Steen being out with that concussion. You know, that's the thing about the Blues, the way they play. They don't rely on high-end offensive players or high-end scoring to win hockey games. I mean, they just play the games the right way. That's why I like watching St. Louis. Brian, of course, you played in the game, so you say you love watching the St. Louis Blues. It doesn't surprise me to hear you say that, because that's how I feel about teams like St. Louis, San Jose, Anaheim. I mean, the Boston Bruins. I mean, Pittsburgh for the most part. I mean, all these teams, the thing they have in common for me is that their best players all play the right way, and they play in both ends of the ice. And that's something that Ken Hitchcock demands from his best players. I mean, could these guys have more goals or more points if they cheated a little bit defensively and tried to play maybe a riskier game and in an effort to get more, you know, cookies, as they say? Probably so. But at the end of the day, these guys know how you have to play winning hockey, and they're all committed. They're all on the same page, and that's why they're having success.
Andy, you mentioned, you know, obviously maybe needing some more nastiness on the back end. A guy that I like up front and playing against, he was always tough, he can score, was a guy like Chris Stewart. And I know he was sort of in the doghouse a few weeks ago with his ice time, might still be there. Is there any truth to those rumors then, if you feel like they need guys like that to get through Anaheim and L.A., why would they consider moving a guy like that if there's any truth there?
Well, there's a lot of smoke out there. Okay. I'm not so sure how much fire there is, to be honest with you. I mean, somebody's going to have to want to take his contract, number one. Just like you said, he's a big body who's struggling offensively, yet he has 15 goals right now.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he's going to wind up somewhere between 25 and 30 before it's all said and done. And here's a guy who's got well over 100 PIMs. You know, because of his size and because of his you know, toughness, I think people expect him to play like David Backes every single night. That's just not who he is. But I can promise you this. There may be one, two, possibly three players on an opposing team coming into a game who are willing to fight Chris Stewart. Okay, most players on the other team are intimidated by this guy. He brings a real presence, okay? Not just on the ice, but on the bench. I mean, there's something about it. You see the way he fights. He fights angry. You know, he's not a guy who's going to run around and just run guys through the wall. But if you poke him and you wake him up, and I think that's one thing L.A. shied away from, and they were really good at it last year in the playoffs. They never woke him up. And for the most part, they just let Chris Stewart sleep. He may have gone the entire series without a scoring chance, didn't score a goal, and really was a non-factor in that playoff series. I think once you try to get under his skin, you try to finish checks on him, you try to do some stuff after the whistle with Chris Stewart, then all of a sudden he becomes a little more engaged. I'd like to see him be more engaged early in games, because when you see him engaged early in a hockey game, that's typically when he plays his best hockey. I love when he gets after it, obviously. He's got a couple of misconducts this season, but he's got so much skill and scoring ability to go along with his size. I mean, few guys with his size have the hands that he has, have the ability to score and finish in and around the net that he does. He needs to play with guys who are willing to do the dirty work in the corners, you know, hard workers who can get him the puck in front and get him the puck in scoring areas. You know, probably may not be, you know, some may say, maybe say he's not a great fit here in St. Louis, but I've seen him play his best hockey here, and I've seen him struggle. But at the end of the day, I think the Blues are a better hockey club with Chris Stewart on their roster, not off.
I agree with you, Andy, 100%. A big body like that, a guy who can just flat out score, and a team that has struggled scoring. And Sud, you were saying he's strong, too.
Scary. He's, you know, Andy just mentioned it. I mean, there's not many guys, heavyweights or skill guys, that want to rile him up.
Yeah, like I would think in the playoffs, man, that guy could really become a force. And, you know, obviously Hitchcock has to find the right buttons to push with him. Andy, what about a guy like Backes? Have you talked to Backes? Because sometimes that push maybe has to come from your teammates. Is Backes or Oshie or Pietrangelo, are those the guys you think that maybe can give that little extra prod to Stewart?
Well, it's a good question, man, like a really good question. Because one thing about Chris Stewart, he's really liked by his teammates. I mean, he's one of the boys – You know, he's part of the inner circle. He likes to, you know, he's just, you see how he is, you know, where I'm set up for TV outside the dressing room. I see how involved he is verbally before they get on the ice. I mean, it's almost like a junior hockey team, the way these guys are just, you know, screaming and going crazy prior to getting on the ice. And he's right in the middle of the action. And so he's one of those guys who truly is a leader. You know, back in the day when he was in Colorado, they thought he, you know, had future captain material written all over him. Maybe he'd be part of that discussion moving forward with that organization. And a lot of people were surprised, if not angry, including Peter Stastny, the father of Paul Stastny, when they actually traded him. You know, he was the captain of the Kingston Frontenacs back in his junior career in the OHL. He's got an unbelievable story of how he made it to the NHL in the first place. Grew up dirt poor in Scarborough, Ontario. Mother died at a young age, I think his first year of junior when he was 16 years of age. He's really had to overcome, you know, a lot of adversity to get to where he is today, and I think that's why a lot of people have respect for Chris Stewart. I certainly do. I think he's a really talented hockey player. You know, it's funny. It's like everyone wants him to run around or wants guys just to run around like their heads cut off and just start hitting everything that moves. You know, in my opinion, listen, I never played in the NHL. I coached AAA hockey, grew up playing hockey, but I never was good enough to play in the National Hockey League. But I would think the hardest thing to do is to score goals in the NHL. I would think anybody can run around, finish checks. Obviously, you got to be willing to do that. But it can't be easy to score in the National Hockey League. If it was, everybody would finish the season with 15 to 25 goals. And the fact that he's done it over and over, he led the team in goal scoring last year. He had 18 goals. He's been a two-time 28-goal scorer. He's in position this year, if he can get hot once again, to get close to 30 this year. There's something to be said for guys who can score in the National Hockey League, in my opinion.
Andy, a few other quick ones. We talk about Halak and the goaltending. What are you hearing about Ryan Miller? I know you're pretty tapped in. Any idea what the Sabres would want in return? And would the Blues be willing to give up that much to get him?
Well, I would think that they would want, you know, obviously a high-end prospect. I would think they'd be asking for a first-round pick. I would think they wouldn't have any problem getting that.
Okay.
And they would certainly want a roster player who could help that team right away. You know, I mean, you know, the compensation I don't think would be a big issue for the St. Louis Blues. But here's what it comes down to for me, okay, is that they've got a guy in the minors right now by the name of Jake Allen. He was an American League All-Star. Came up last year, really saved the season for the St. Louis Blues, in my opinion. When the team was really struggling, especially in the goaltending position, he came up and he was brilliant. Former second-round pick, obviously was starting goaltender for Team Canada in the World Juniors just a few years back. They believe he's got number one potential. He's been the best goaltender, talking to a lot of scouts, in the American Hockey League this season, and he's got a one-way contract next year. I'm not so sure, if it was me, this is just my opinion, that I would trade for a goaltender without allowing him to be part of the competition this year.
Okay.
And then if you trade for Ryan Miller or give up the compensation that it's going to take to get him, then you got to make the decision, do you re-sign him? Sources close to him tell me he's going to want a 5- or 6-year contract extension, making in the neighborhood of what he's making right now, which is just north of $6 million per year. So then what do? Do you re-sign him 5 or 6 years at that price when you have to re-sign guys like David Backes coming up in just a couple of seasons, and you've got this kid waiting in the wings, you want him sitting behind Ryan Miller, and do you want to give up the package or the compensation that it's going to take to get him just for a rental? And as far as I know, I don't see too many elite goaltenders traded at the deadline and right away develop chemistry with the team they go to. It takes time, even at the goaltending position. This isn't a goal scorer who's just going to jump, you know, on the top line and play with some skilled offensive players. So there's no guarantee that he's going to fit in with this organization or this hockey club right away. And if it takes a month and a half or 2 months for him to develop that, it may be too late. So you may be stuck with what you have. And Jaro Halak and Brian Elliott, this is a good combination when you look at the way these guys have played. So if they didn't do anything, I think this team would be just as confident heading into the playoffs as they are right now.
Andy, always good to talk to you. In 30 seconds, Magnus Pajärvi, is he improving or is this a guy who's going to be a fourth-line guy for them?
No, he's improving big time.
Okay.
Everyone knows about his speed, but he's got to get stronger. We all know that. You know, he's just a little deficient or maybe behind from a weightlifting standpoint. I think they're going to work hard with him this offseason to get him to pack on some pounds, pack on some muscle. But again, maybe get a little dirtier, a little grittier, develop that area of his game to go along with his speed. And they'd love to find him, you know, find some finish in his game as well, because he does create some offensive opportunities for himself. And he's getting more ice time as of late as well.
Andy, always great to talk to you.
Great to talk to you guys. Take care. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you betcha, my man.